As we work our way through Philippians, Paul has encouraged and he's taught and he's challenged and he's asked us to seek, to live and to walk and to run and to fly in all the right ways in our Christian life. We will find that in Philippians. Tonight we're going to read through. Eric did chapter 3, 12 through 21. I'm going to read and we're going to read through verses 12 through 16 and just pick some key words, some key action words, and that's going to springboard us in to the first 11 verses in 2 Peter chapter 1. So that's the goal for tonight. Starting in Philippians, says, and the verse, before we get to 12, the verses leading up to 12, Paul has written that, and he said specifically, and Eric dealt with this a lot, that he's moving on from his old life as a Pharisee. He's forgetting it. He's putting it in the past, all for Christ, all to have a new life in Christ, preaching the gospel, and having his life be meaningful as a disciple of Christ, as a sent out apostle of Christ, solely focused on that, leaving all else behind. Verse 12, not that I have already attained, Paul says, or am already a perfected. Paul says, sure, I have this new focus and I've left this life behind and I'm preaching the gospel and my life is focused down to Jesus, but I'm still not there yet. I'm still being sanctified. I'm still being set apart. I've still got places to go in my Christian walk. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Paul says, God snatched me up for a purpose, and I'm going to lay hold of that purpose. What purpose did Jesus save you for? What purpose did Jesus save me for? What purpose does God have in this church in Colorado Springs? Believers that are blessed by knowing the word, hearing the word, being admonished by the word. He has a purpose. He has a purpose, and he's doing something in your life. Whether you're going through it or whether you're lost, whether you don't know where, God has a purpose in your life and a purpose for your life. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet, Paul says. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, Eric went into that extensively, his life as a Pharisee, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, I would submit to you that there is no way that we can reach forward for the things that are ahead if we are holding on, if we are clutching to the things of the past. And sometimes that's just a daily reminder. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the Christian walk is newness every single day. God's grace every single day. God's wisdom every single day. It's new. So no matter what you did yesterday or the years before or in your young life or whatever, God has something today, tomorrow, the next day to both help you overcome that and to move on. To move on and do the thing that God has asked you and I to do. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward those things which are ahead. Learn from it. Move on. God's always got something better in front than what was behind. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Christian maturity starts with a mind that is thinking biblically. a mind that is so soaked in God's truth and God's word that you're thinking biblically now. And that is very naturally going to make you more mature than you were yesterday. Whatever you read today, whatever you read tomorrow, whatever you listen to, whenever you spend time before the Lord in prayer, every day he's maturing you just a little bit, just a little bit. That's why it's so important to always be praying, to always have a prayer life, to always have a reading life, to always have a fellowship, come to church life. We can't skip out on those and expect to be mature in our walk. We can't treat them as a thing that I can kind of just jump into and jump out of. There's some diligence there in becoming mature in the Lord. And God will do it. God will do it. And then he says, therefore, let us, as many of us that as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. In other words, if you get it wrong, or if you've got it wrong, and even when you're stupid in your Christian walk, God's going to correct you. God's going to correct you. Don't be concerned if maybe Christianity is new to you. Maybe it's old, but the learning part of it, the biblical learning part of it is new. Every day, each and every day, each and every day, God's grace and God's wisdom, he's going to work those things out in your life. Verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, we have attained salvation. We are completely and utterly saved by Jesus. To the degree that we have attained, Paul says, I've attained salvation. I've attained salvation. We've attained salvation. Then he says, what about it? Let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Walking completely and utterly saved. A son and a son or a daughter of God. Completely and utterly. And a lot of times we get caught up in the fact that, well, I still have this flesh, I'm still a sinner, I don't have it all down, I stumble, I fail. Walk as a saved son of God. Walk as a daughter of God, because you are. Amen. Paul says, I attained that. We've attained that. And that's the standard we should live by. And that's the standard we can live by. We have attained forgiveness. We have attained an opening, loving relationship with Jesus. There is nothing left to do as far as your salvation. Period and an end of story. There's nothing left to do as far as your salvation. Now, as far as living to that, so Jesus takes us, he places us on the top of the mountain already. We're there already. He doesn't save us and then say, okay, now you kind of perfect on that and you get to the top of the mountain. No. You are righteous in him. You are saved in him. You are forgiven in him. You are made perfect in him. And now we can live like it. That's the only thing left to do, is to live like it. You see, and sometimes we just don't live like it. And we want to get down on ourselves and we want to get frustrated. And Jesus says, I see you. I know you. I forgive you. There's still that purpose in your life. I knew those 5 years you were going to walk away from me. I already knew it. I knew that you would mess up so bad that you thought I wouldn't love you anymore. remember, you didn't get to the top of that mountain because of you. It was because of me. It was because of me. Pressing on. Laying hold, reaching forward, pressing toward, being mature. You see, there cannot be a mentality that says, well, praise the Lord, I'm saved. I'm just going to cruise till the rapture. Just going to cruise till God takes me out of here or I die. I'm saved. I know that's all. That's great. No, no. If he's placed you in the top, then we should act like it. We should live like it. And by the way, that is the greatest blessing here on earth that we can achieve, that we can work toward. It's not as if God doesn't have us things to do, you know, and so many people just kind of settle for, I'm a wretched sinner, I can't do anything. Yes, you can, because God has placed you where you can. Paul is definitely giving the believer something to achieve, to work on, to be challenged in, because living the saved life is filled with acts of obedience and devotion to the one who saved us. Living the saved life is filled with acts of obedience and devotion to the one that saved us, the one that put us at the top of the mountain. To press on, to lay hold, to reach forward, to be mature. In our understanding as a saved child of God, that is what the completely saved Christian is to be about. He gave us eternal life. He placed us at the top. Now we give at when now that we realize I'm saved to the uttermost, I can live to the uttermost for God. God, my life is yours. My life is yours. And the problem is sometimes this flesh wants to take it back. Wants to take it back. Turn to 2 Peter. The reason I paired 2 Peter chapter 1 with this is because the first 11 verses really kind of have a little bit of the same admonishment. Peter starts by telling us awesome things that God has done for us, and we'll see that. And then he says, now this is what you get to do. This is how you live your life out at the very pinnacle that Jesus has brought you to. Peter's message in these 11 verses basically is this: live godly because of what Christ has done for us. Live godly because of what Christ has done for us. 2 Peter chapter 1. If you're having trouble finding it, it's after 1 Peter. Peter writes this book. He's probably toward the end of his life. He and Paul, history says they were probably martyred by Nero. And Peter's getting to the end of his life, and he's probably in jail. And he writes this letter to every Christian. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a sent out one, a willing servant. That bondservant had that idea that I'm a slave, but I'm a slave intentionally because I'm a slave of the best master. I'm a slave for Jesus Christ. I'm a willing servant. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's all Christians. That's everyone who has received this precious faith. Is your faith precious to you? All of us at our home, apartment, tent, whatever, you have something precious. You have at least one thing that's precious, maybe a few. You usually like to show those things off. Those things are very, very dear to you. Someone comes over and I want to show you my gold medal. I want to show you this thing that, you know, I worked for in God. It's awesome. You know, if your faith is precious and yet it's hard, oh, it's hard, so hard. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't know how to do that. Just say, Lord, help me to show you off. Help me to show you off. Oh, wow. Precious, precious faith. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied. Peter greets them warmly, wanting grace and peace to be abundant in their life. To be gracious, to be peaceful is a gift from God. Let people see that. Press into it. Christians, if we get out of our grace, if we get out of our peace, God every time has a way back to it. But sometimes we just want to beat our heads against the wall and try to figure it out ourselves and overthink it. Way past, you know, have you ever thought about something in a circular thought for like 20 or 50 times and you're so exhausted, you're like, oh man, I just got to go to bed and pray. Yeah, why don't we get there first? Why don't we let him go first? Grace, peace, get back to it if you're away from it. Verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. As a Christian, if you've never read this verse, never read through 2 Peter, let me reiterate it. Peter just said, you and I, as people in faith in Jesus, have everything we need. Everything we need for this life. Everything is available to you if somebody in your family needs to be saved. It just starts with prayer. Everything is available to you if you've lost your job and you're down and out and whatever. God will give you everything you need. And if he doesn't give it just through you, he will bring somebody along that will help you. And that will be somebody that God has picked out to help you get and attain whatever it is you need in this life for life and godliness. For life and godliness. Important to remember that. We have all things. And how? Through knowing Jesus. Through knowing Jesus, who called us by glory and virtue. Get to know Jesus, and you will find in knowing Jesus, he always has an answer. He always has an answer. Peter writes, being a child of God means we do have everything we need. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit until God takes us home. We are led by his Holy Spirit. We are forgiven. We are cleansed by his blood. All things to live our life exactly where he's placed us. And that's at the top of God's mountain with him. So why should we start moving back down? We should not. Don't look back. Don't look back. Some of you know this very well and you're mature in your walk. And some of you tonight are going, man, I just tried this Christian thing a couple months ago and my life's worse. Don't look back. Jesus might let you go through that trial. He might let you learn some things the hard way. But he sees and he knows and he's going to get you there. You trusted in him for salvation and eternity. You can trust him for today. You can trust him for today. Let the promises of God's word overrule the seemingly overwhelming trials of this life. Let the promises of God's word overrule the seemingly overwhelming trials of this life. Look at verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. On top of everything, on top of salvation, on top of everything we need for life and godliness, we have precious promises. Peter's talking about the future here. That through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Before we were saved, we were in our sin, we were corrupt, we were headed to hell. When we placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross paid the price for our sin, and we were set free. What that means is, who God is in his infinite being, in his not corrupt state, we get to be. Though we may die and this flesh will be corrupted before it's incorruptible, we shall live. We shall live. We have the promise, the precious promise. When we got saved, when you and I got saved, we said, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. God stamped us eternal in the heavens. Before you did anything in your Christian walk, you just cried out to Jesus like that thief on the cross, and he stamped you eternal in the heavens. Promises of eternal life, promises of the Holy Spirit, promises that if we die, we will live. The strength and power that the apostles went out on and lived their lives in was because they believed this to its fullest. They gave their lives because no matter what, God had their lives covered forever. That's why they could do what they did. That's why each of them were martyred for their faith. They knew God had their back no matter what. And sometimes we just forget that the God that saved us knows all, sees all, and has every bit of everything and every piece of strength and wisdom that we need if we're thinking about, what do I do now that God has put me at the top? Verse 5, but also for this very reason. For this very reason, Peter says. What reason? Because we're eternally saved. Because God has given us all of these things and the hope of heaven as well. Because of these things, he says, giving all diligence. What do you give all diligence to in this life? What do you give all diligence to in this life? Sometimes it can be a sobering fact, you know? I have the best lawn. It gets green before anybody. I don't. I'm just saying, you know, some people do. I'm thinking about that thing. I'm working on that thing. I see a weed, man, and I pull it. I pull that thing right away because I don't want that weed to be two weeds. You see, I'm diligent in the things I care about. Jesus cared about you to save your life. Give it back. And oh my goodness, he's just so pleased. And the Holy Spirit is so pleased when we say, God, I want to get back. I got to get back. And it's got to be more important than my lawn. It's got to be more important than my job. It's got to be more important than anything, even my life. all diligence, all strength, all effort, pressing on. Add to your faith. Now, I would submit to you, we cannot add to our salvation. It's complete. Jesus was on the cross. I wasn't, you weren't. Total work of God, salvation. But as we've said, now that we've placed at the top of that mountain, we can put all diligence into these things that Peter is asking us to do. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue is just good deeds, just deeds of excellence. You know, I remember when I rededicated my life at 22, and I had met my wife of now 35, 36 years, something like that. You know, you tend to forget after 35, I guess. And we'd rededicated our life, and we're like, you know, this relationship has to be in God, or else it'll probably, you know, end like every other relationship. And but we didn't know, so we went to church. And we went to church for a little while, and it's like, okay, we'll do something. We didn't know what to do. So we helped out at the mission down in L.A., you know, a couple different days. You know, we thought about it. We prayed about it. We asked God to show us, and you know what? He was faithful. He was faithful. He always is. He always is. Good deeds. So if you're in that place, and man, you're just kind of starting this walk with the Lord, find something good to do for somebody and do it with all your heart as to Jesus. To virtue, knowledge, always be learning, always be in church, always, I mean, isn't your phone awesome? It can be such a weight if we use it wrong. You can listen to podcasts all day long. Awesome teaching, you know? You can use it, praise and worship. We can learn at such an accelerated rate that if we're not, it's almost a crime in our Christian walk. Knowledge, always adding knowledge, finding God's wisdom. To knowledge, self-control. This is just a spirit-controlled life versus a flesh-controlled life. Before Christ, we were controlled by that old flesh. Now that we're in Christ, we have to keep, we have to crucify that flesh every day. And the best way we can do that is say, oh, Holy Spirit, lead me. Lead me. Lead me in my thinking. Lead me in my emotions, because I'm prone to thinking and feeling things that aren't godly. God will work that out in your life if you ask him, if you really want it. Self-control. Spirit-controlled life. Spirit-controlled life. To self-control, perseverance. This is relentless patience in all circumstances. Just a relentless, Lord, I'm going to keep going on, keep going on, keep going on. Did Paul not have to have this with every trial he went through? The beatings, going to jail. I mean, just being, you know. I mean, these guys had people come into their lives and jail them and beat them for the gospel. God allowed them to be controlled by other men, just as he, by the way, let other men control him and march him to the cross and crucify him. Jesus persevered for us to the cross. The cloud of witnesses, the apostles, persevered for us. God will always give you somebody, sometimes it's yourself, to persevere for. Who is it in your life? Who do I need to persevere for right now? Maybe it's my wife, maybe it's my husband, maybe it's, you know, my family, my coworkers. Who do I need to persevere for? Perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. This is godlikeness. You know, Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Such a high calling to say, oh, Lord, that I could have your mind for a second, for a moment right now as I'm going through this, as I need wisdom for this thing, that thing, as I need self-control right now to walk in godliness rather than uncontrolled rage, anger, sorrow, despair, right? to godliness, brotherly kindness. This word is Philadelphia. It's best friends. That's the fellowship kind of love. That's where you seek out and you ask God, God, I need really good close friends that are Christians if you don't have them. And then you pay attention to the ones if you do have them that are there. It's brotherly love. We get along, you know. And it's different from the next love because it says to brotherly kindness, love, that love is agape love. That's the love that's going to hurt. That's the love that you're not going to get anything back. That's the love that you do sacrificially. He says, add that to your faith. I loved you to the cross. I loved you and I loved this world that I went to the cross. Now you return it, press into it. And I would submit to you that list that Peter just gave us will take us a lifetime to do. But if we're doing it, we're, in just a second, we're going to see what that means. Look at verse 8. For if, notice he says if. In other words, as a Christian, you could leave those things behind. You don't have to press into that. God wants you to, and it's a blessing if you do. But he says, for if these things are yours and abound, not just a little bit, a lot. I got a lot of self-control. I got a lot of knowledge from the Lord. I got a lot of perseverance. I got a lot of God. I mean, he says, if they abound, if that's just the type of person you want to be. Maybe you're not that way now, but God will make you that way. And he says, if you attain that, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If that's going to abound, that means you got to know Jesus really, really well. And why not? He's your Savior that loves you and knows you and wants to use everything in your life and every opportunity, every trial, every disappointment to take you and me and make us shine for him at the top. Verse 9. Oh my goodness, for he who lacks these things, is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Almost seems like an impossibility until you run into someone, and we do, and maybe you have. Maybe up front, and I'm sitting here waiting to pray for someone after Eric's done. And they come up and we start talking. How long have you been saved? Well, I was saved when I was a kid. Then I walked away. Total misunderstanding of the heart of Jesus. Focusing on my own sin, and that particular person was pulled away from God's grace, even thinking that they're not saved yet, that they were once saved, but now they're not, because they haven't been good enough. And then, praise the Lord, I get to explain the gospel a little better. Maybe bring that person along and bless them. And if that's you, oh my goodness, forget whatever went on yesterday or the day before or the years before. If you've asked Jesus into your heart and you've asked him to cleanse you from your sin and you believe on him, then you are saved. But it's time to start doing some things that he would like you to do so he can bless your life, so that he can bless your life and pull you out of that. Look at verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Why does he say be even more diligent? Because what we just read can happen. We can slip and we can fall and we can go the other way. We can start to walk down the mountain. It says be even more diligent. be even more diligent to know these things, to think about these things, and let me work them out in your life. Remember, the second you start beating yourself up, Jesus would never beat you. God would never beat you. He may lovingly correct you. He may lovingly corral you to get you back to where you need to be. Go with him. Let him. He'll march you right back up to that mountain. The rest of verse 10, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Promise of God. Promise of God. Isaiah puts it this way. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagle's wings. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are here and exist as a church to proclaim Jesus. To be mature is to know how to proclaim Jesus. If any of this in your Christian life is new or groundbreaking or reminds you, oh, of course, and settles your heart, I hope you can't wait. I hope you can't wait to share that with somebody. What a privilege to share your Savior with somebody, to share the hope of the gospel with somebody. Regardless of where you're at. Regardless of where you're at. Because God's going to be faithful. And God never breaks a promise. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for God, just your word that's so rich and reminds us and brings us back to where we're supposed to be. And then, Lord, so much more, so much more. God, I pray for each and every person tonight that's heard your word and maybe has just gotten brought back to the reality of your majesty. Lord, your strength and your power in our lives. God, we ask for forgiveness when we just flat out get in the way of it. When we just don't believe it. God, strengthen our faith. God, help us to abide. Lord, each and every day to live like we're saved because we are. Lord, we love you tonight and we just ask that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.